Right now, though, we're going to talk about mental health and suicide. And I'll start off by letting you know that if you or someone you know may be considering suicide, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. You can also reach the crisis text line by texting HOME to 741-741. That's 741-741. We'll give you those numbers again at the end of the conversation. Mental health experts are hoping that Meghan Markle's recent interview with Oprah Winfrey will help reduce the stigma behind suicide. Markle said when she joined the British royal family, she became depressed. She blamed racist and sexist headlines and tabloids and said they deeply hurt her friends and family and that the negative coverage would finally stop if she took her own life.
But I knew that if I didn't say it, that I would do it. And I just didn't want to be alive anymore. And that was a very clear and real and frightening constant thought.
Markle also said she let a senior official know that she needed help, but was told she couldn't get it because it would embarrass the family. Eventually, she and her husband, Prince Harry, along with her young son, Archie, moved to the U.S. and stepped away from their official roles in the royal family. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to what Meghan Markle had to say about those suicidal thoughts? Has it caused you to look at mental health issues and suicide in a different way? Have you or a family member had your own battles with depression and suicidal thoughts? Was it hard for you to talk about and to go out and seek help? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Leah Rolando is the Suicide Prevention Program Coordinator with Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Leah, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Leah, a lot of people in the mental health community seem to have responded to this interview and what Meghan Markle had to say about her own experiences with suicidal thoughts. What's your reaction to what you heard in that interview and since?
Yeah, what I've seen at least is just more and more people relating to that and sharing about their own experiences. I mean, at least what I've seen, and I have so many incredible friends and colleagues who have lived experience with suicidal thoughts or suicide attempts. And so a lot of these folks have been sharing their stories and hoping it encourages other people to also speak up about this. But another story we see in that is that when Meghan shared that she tried to reach out, there was that, it's bad for the institution. And so I see like a lot of parallels to what others have shared with me before and shared with folks in the field that, you know, we're telling folks to reach out, but when folks are reaching out, what are they being met with?
Right. We're not all parts of a royal family, but that concern about maybe stigma or what people are going to think of us if we talk about these issues, that's still real for everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you say to people who see that interview maybe and think, well, that's like my experience, but I don't know where to start. I don't know where to reach out. I don't know how to strike up this conversation, maybe even with a close loved one.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ideas that I have, and I'm interested in seeing more people's reactions to this. I guess I would just like encourage people, if you are family members or friends of people who have lived experience with suicide or have shared that they've been suicidal before, just listen to them. Just hold space for folks and let people tell you what they're dealing with, and don't push back against that, trying to kind of sugarcoat their experience or saying like, well, how could you be suicidal? You have a great family. Or how could you be suicidal? You have all these great things going for you. Because that's, you know, incredibly dismissive when somebody's in that moment and feeling that.
And then for someone who's concerned about a loved one, but hasn't heard about suicidal thoughts, I know there's often a concern, and in the past there was a concern even among mental health professionals. Well, I don't want to bring up the idea of self-harm or suicide or suicidal thoughts, because am I going to put that idea in their head where it wasn't before? Thinking on that has changed, it sounds like. What do you say to that, Leah?
Yeah, I think more and more people are recognizing that that's a myth, that bringing up suicidal thoughts or asking somebody if they're thinking about suicide is going to plant the idea in their head. Because we know, and I think I've said time and time again, that asking people, you know, do you feel like being on this earth anymore? Do you feel like dying? You open up this conversation and you let that person know that you are ready to hear what they have to say. And it's, yeah,
okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say it's more than mental health too. I think so often in the field of suicide prevention and mental health, we reduce suicidal thoughts to a symptom of a mental illness. And we think that suicide has to be a symptom of an undiagnosed mental illness. And that's simply not true. Obviously racism, homophobia, sexism, all these bigger picture things are impacting the mental health of people. And so it's not just this individualized mental illness. So I just really want to encourage people to think about this more broadly.
We're talking to Leah Rolando, Suicide Prevention Program Coordinator with Mental Health America of Wisconsin. We are talking about how we talk about suicide and suicidal thoughts. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, questions, and experiences. Did you watch that interview with Meghan Markle and talking to Oprah Winfrey, where she talked about her own suicidal thoughts? And did it change the way you think about these issues? Call in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Chandra is with us in Ironwood. Chandra, hi.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Chandra?
I live in a small rural community in Ironwood, Michigan, and we struggle a lot with mental illness and suicide. And I think we have one of the highest suicide rates per capita in the area. So one of the things I really struggled with was after I had my son, I had postpartum depression that actually made me feel very suicidal. And the ideations, I'd been struggling with my whole life, but I had never come up with a plan. And so I was here. I was a new mom. I didn't know a lot of people. I was pretty new to the area. And, you know, I was suicidal, and I knew that I was sick. And I think that's one of the main things that people need to realize is that when we get to that point, we are sick and we need help, just like somebody that has a disease needs help. So I called the local agencies and to talk to a psychologist. And my problem in my community, and something I'm very passionate about changing, is preventative help is key. So we are very much a community that when you attempt suicide, when you, are out of your mind and be acting out in different ways, you can get help, but it's like you have to go to the ER and they put a cop outside your room, and then they transfer you to another psych hospital and hold you for 72 hours, give you some medications, throw you right back into the same situation. And most of the time, those communities don't have enough resources to actually help people recover from that mental health situation or crisis or whatever. Yeah. With all the underlying things that come up with suicide attempts and depression and all of those things, we just do not have the resources. And the studies show that if you invest in mental health in your community, you are going to see less crime rates, less domestic violence, less overdoses, less incarceration. So, I just don't know why we aren't investing in this when the best practices are showing that these things work.
Chandra, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. I appreciate that you're willing to talk about it. And Leah, Chandra says, okay, in the moment of crisis, yeah, you could call 911 and it's an extreme situation. Chandra wants to see more help early, preventative, and after that moment of crisis, to help people get better. What do you think?
Yeah, so you're speaking to all of that kind of upstream prevention and what do we do before people are in crisis and how do we actually have help available when people are reaching out for help if that's what we're telling them to do. And I think we've seen a lot of really creative solutions come from peer support. So rather than just focusing on clinical types of treatment, like therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists, how can peer support people in their communities? Do you have a peer-run respite? I know we have a few in Wisconsin, and they're like home-like settings for folks to go to who can be with people who have also dealt with mental health or substance use or thoughts of suicide. There's also groups like Alternatives to Suicide, which is a new a group that Mental Health America of Wisconsin just launched. The idea comes from an organization called the Wildflower Alliance, and they really focus on peers talking to other peers. So people who have been there and people who aren't going to hit the panic button when somebody says that they're thinking about suicide. So I think there's a lot of different things that we can point to and think about when we're thinking about how much people are struggling and how can we help folks. So I appreciate you really being an advocate for that and sharing your own lived experience to kind of emphasize that.
Chandra, thanks again for calling in. We're talking about reducing the stigma surrounding mental health and suicidal thoughts. Leah Rolando is with us, Suicide Prevention Program Coordinator with Mental Health America of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of Meghan Markle in that interview with Oprah saying she's had suicidal thoughts? Did that resonate with you? If you or someone you know contemplated suicide, how difficult was it to open up and get help? And have you been involved in one of those peer peer counseling, peer support groups in Wisconsin that our guest or beyond that our guest was talking about? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're talking about reducing the stigma of suicidal thoughts after former Duchess of Sussex Meghan Markle told Oprah Winfrey in an interview that she had suicidal thoughts since joining the royal family. Leah Rolando is our guest, Suicide Prevention Program Coordinator with Mental Health America of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if those comments resonated with you, sounded like something you might have gone through in your own life or someone in your family had. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Leah, you mentioned how peers can support people earlier who maybe say, yeah, I'm having suicidal thoughts, suicidal ideation. And you used an important phrase there, without hitting the panic button. For somebody in that situation, how do they know? I mean, if you're not familiar, if you're not ready for that, it would be easy for me, say, to overreact to somebody telling me that. How do I not do that?
Yeah, it takes a lot of, you know, getting in touch with the, like, I don't know, like kind of darker moments that you've had personally and just holding space for other people. I know that's really kind of hard to define, but for example, there's a recent training that we've gone through and we've kind of learned how to be with someone and not try to fix what they're saying, not try to rush to offering solutions, but really listening to what someone's saying, just kind of staying curious about that, sharing parts of yourself too. I know a lot of clinicians are taught to be kind of blank slates and very not sharing pieces of their stories with clients when clients are sharing that they've been suicidal. But we're learning that there's so much to gain from just being human with one another and just validating the pain that other people have gone through.
Let's go back to our callers. Mary is with us in Racine. Mary, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What do you want to tell us about, Mary?
I think that adults really don't pay a whole lot of attention to children who have suicidal ideation. Where I lived when I was 11, there were two boys next door, 9 and 7, who hung themselves from the balcony over their staircase and killed themselves. And I was 11, and I thought I was having suicidal ideations like that already. And I thought, I can do that. That's my way out. I also have an older sister who was in the hospital twice for a suicide attempt. And my parents just laughed at her and said, what's wrong with you? So I think that especially professionals, maybe they're getting better, but adults in general are not paying attention to what's going on with children who have suicidal ideations. And a lot of this is chemical because children are having all those body changes. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, but there's got to be more people that have to recognize this more.
Mary, thank you for calling in. I'm sorry you went through that as a kid. Let's talk about children in particular, Leah, and watching for warning signs. And maybe it may be tougher for kids to even express those ideas, even for an adult, than for an adult struggling with the same issues.
Yeah, I'm really glad you bring that up. I'm not an expert on this, like in particular clinically, but I know that it's so common, you know, for adults to experience suicidal thoughts, and the suicidal thoughts can start a lot younger for kids too. And just going back to that myth of like planting the idea in their head, like that's not necessarily true. Like kids are going to learn about this stuff eventually. And so just having proactive conversations about feelings and doing promoting social emotional development in schools. I know there's a lot of different programs now that schools can implement, starting in elementary school, for kids to start talking about their feelings and their actions and how they respond to difficult, you know, life events. And so I think just more of that, and teachers who are educated on having these difficult conversations, and parents and caregivers too.
Thanks again for that call. In our last few moments, I want to touch on some good news down the road. Anyway, the state's Health Services Department announced that it received a grant to help set up a new calling code for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Next summer, it'll be a 3-digit number, and not yet. But how important is this, Leah, to have this in the pipeline to make it easier, just in our last 30 seconds or so?
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack in 30 seconds, because we know it's not active yet, but we know that it's super important that we're funding crisis services and peer services who are ready to receive folks when they're calling into that number when it is active. So we just really want to push for policies and legislation that's going to make it possible to make sure the help is there when people are seeking that help. So it's more than just that number. It's making sure we have a fully funded crisis system with peer support fully considered. So lots more to say, but it's very important.
Leah, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Yes, thanks so much.
Leah Rolando is the Suicide Prevention Program Coordinator for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. We talked through about Meghan Markle saying she's had suicidal thoughts since becoming a member of the royal family, and how her revelation could help those with mental health issues. By the way, if you or someone you know may be considering suicide, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. You can reach a crisis text line by texting HOME to the number 741-741.